Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Buckley Town.
That would be a little weird.
Somebody behind you. What's going on there? That's the third member of our broadcast team.
She's just had meatballs for lunch.
That's a good lunch. That's a good lunch. What'd she say? Did she just call me a meatball? Did you call me a meatball?
She said, I'm having meatballs too.
Oh, okay. Hey, Natty, before you go, I got some important news to tell you. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Everything that you need to start your morning off with a delicious cup of Strange Brew Coffee. It's right there, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. If you are a Mississippi State fan and you are a business owner, here's a way for you to become a Bulldog Initiative business, and you're not going to have to spend any more money than you're already spending. That sounds like a great deal to me. But then when you include the fact that you'll be dealing with PIP Printing and Signs, the state's top printing business, guys who can get anything that you need to attract new customers, to maintain your customers, to help your business continue on its path, that's a no-lose situation for you. That is a win-win. Call our friend Camden Baker, 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. When you give your business to PIP Printing and Signs, money you're already spending anyway. You're a business owner. You already spend money on printing. 10% straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. Boom. You are a Bulldog Initiative business. It didn't cost you a dime more than you're already spending on printing right now. When you need printing, call PIP today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. You're looking for it. You are looking for it. It's Father's Day in just over 2 weeks, and you need to get Dad a new gift. He has been wearing that same tired banner rim polo all these years. It's time to improve. It's time to step up. It's a new era of Mississippi State baseball and football and basketball, and it's time to get with the program. So head to College Corner, pick up a new state script, a new M over S, a new interlocking polo. That's what Dad wants this Father's Day. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place to grab the best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. Whichever meal it is, it's the best in town when it's at Restaurant Tyler. If you haven't been to Restaurant Tyler lately, you're just missing out. And I would suggest going there for lunch if you're going to be in Starkville, if you are around the downtown area. They have the best blue plate in town. When you're talking about lunch in the South, blue plate is what we're talking about. And you just can't get a better one than one at Restaurant Tyler. Great selection of meats and veggies, the cornbread that even Brian Haydad likes to eat. You just can't go wrong. So next time you're thinking about lunch here in Starkville, make sure you're thinking about Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide, help you find the location nearest you, and give you a tour of everything that Priority One Bank can do for your money. They work for your money. They don't make you work for your money. They take care of your money, and when you have a problem, when you have a question, it's a phone call away to somebody that you know, not a call center, not an overseas, who knows how long you're going to be on hold situation. Nah, it's the people in your community. They'll be able to take care of you with the kind of service that you expect. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Welcome back, Robbie. Glad to have you home from the great state of Virginia.
Good to be home.
It is. We missed you. I missed you, man.
I came home, and this morning I've been mowing grass, and I've still got more grass to mow. The humidity is out of control. And it's actually not Like,
not bad
as
today.
Bad as usual.
Yeah.
When you've been in Charlottesville for the last, like, almost week, and there's, like, no humidity, it's pretty wild.
You brought back some of that good Virginia weather. I appreciate that. So,
yeah, you're welcome. Well,
today is Wednesday, which means today is the Rumblings, which, of course, is brought to you by the good folks over at Superior Catfish. Please check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/SuperiorCatfish. Find out not only a lot of great information about how Superior Catfish makes Superior Catfish, but they have got a lot of great recipes. You know, I love fried catfish, but, man, if you want to do something up with it, they've got recipes to help you do exactly that. And, of course, the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour is about to get underway. We are starting up next week here in the city of Starkville at Obie's. That'll be our first stop on it's Thursday, right? The 13th, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, so we are planning to start around lunchtime, around 11 a.m. We have got a couple of special guests, including, you know, my regular dentist office is right across the street from Obie's, but we're going to have another dentist come in and have a word with us. Chris Jans will join us at Obie's on Thursday, June 13th, for the first stop on the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour. If you are going to be in Starkville, please join us at Obie's to enjoy a great time and, of course, enjoy some superior catfish. There's catfish, and then there's superior catfish. Let's jump in.
I can't wait to hear what the dentist thinks of fried catfish. I don't know how much Iowa produces catfish.
They're more of like a carp place, I believe.
A lot of carp sounds right.
Getting eaten up there. All right. Let's jump right in. CJ Moore as our first question. Not one of the Ole Miss twin brothers. Different CJ Moore.
Thank goodness.
Only using the for sure returning players. Save possible portal entries. What's your way too early submission for a starting lineup and three pitcher rotation next year? Try not to cry. Okay. My starting lineup. We're gonna lead off with Ethan Pulliam playing second base. That's it.
And then?
And then Friday night, Pico Khan. That's it. That's all I got.
If we're just like excluding all portal entries, we're just gonna have Pico, Nolan Stevens.
Stevens will probably be at first. Probably a good call.
Well, I was thinking as a starter.
Oh,
if we're just eliminating all portal entries.
Yeah. Michael Bryan is playing center field, probably batting second, right this second.
Gavin Black, maybe is your Sunday starter.
I don't know. He looked like a guy who could be a good reliever for you. I might want to let him be the closer.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to figure out starters.
We're trying to think something out here. You know, Evan Sierra going to be back? I don't know.
Do we have to go through the are we banking on Bradley Lofton?
Let's not bank on that.
Can they bring him out of the dungeon, Cohen's dungeon down there?
He's still down there with oh God, what was the guy's name we made that joke about? You know what
I'm talking about. Stover.
Stover. Down in the basement.
Like one day I was like, where's Paxton Stover at? Does Cohen just keep him in a basement in Duty Noble Field? Next thing we know, I think he was like pitching at Vanderbilt or something.
Yeah, yeah. So not a lot of options there. Josh, if Mississippi State baseball is the blue blood that the majority of fans think we are, why are fans settling? LSU fired Coach O 2 years after a championship. Auburn fired Chizik 2 years after a championship. What I would say with that analogy, what's wrong with that analogy, is that they fired him two years after that, and they had bad seasons. So, like, if Chizik the year after the national title was they went 8-5. If he got 8-5 again, he wouldn't have been fired.
Right.
And same with LSU, they had back-to-back, you know, subpar seasons. So what I would say is that if State had fired Lemonis last year, totally, you could have totally justified it. Like, that's not acceptable. Yeah. Having the season he had, letting him have a third year, he earned another year. It's just the way that it is.
That's the conversation that needs to be had. You're not upset that he didn't get fired this year. You're upset that he didn't get fired last year. That was the conversation to be had. You can't fire him this season, in my opinion, after giving him a chance to play the season out and he got the team back to postseason. That's not fair. And again, we've had this conversation. It's his fault Mississippi State's in this position, but Zach Selman made the he had the idea of keeping him for another season and gave him a chance to get back to the postseason, and he did. So you go from two losing seasons in SEC play to winning, you know, almost twice as many games as you did the last 2 years. You're not going to get fired for that. So, you know, I don't understand why people are bringing this topic back up again. Last year was when that topic was to be had, not this year. You don't fire him now. If you wanted him fired, it should have been last year. But Chris Simonis moved the team forward this year. I don't agree with the people that want him fired now.
Yeah.
If that's the case, you know.
I agree that he's going to coach the 2025 season no matter what. There's no
yeah.
You know, there's no getting around that, and you just have to accept it. If you want him gone, and I'm not saying I want him gone at this point. I will say that his situation is fluid for me.
Yeah. It is a very complicated situation because in one hand you look at it and you're like, these are a lot of the same things are happening the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Are they going to improve? I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of stuff like fundamental things and, you know, poor evaluation of players and, you know, recruiting. A lot of guys decommitted out of this past class because of what had happened the last two seasons. And I think, you know, that's something that could hurt them in the future. We'll see. I don't know. But, you know, the recruiting has got to catch up, the evaluations, things like that. And then they got to be fundamentally better. At the same time, the biggest thing we talked about last year was Mississippi State's pitching staff was such a mess. And they went from just making a slight improvement to making a massive improvement on the mound. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't get credit for that, then why are we blaming him for
it? Right.
So, you know, it's a very complicated situation. It's a wait and see kind of thing. We don't know yet if he's going to be able to bring Mississippi State all the way back. But at the same time, had he won two games this weekend, what are we talking about?
Mm-hmm.
If Mississippi State's in the Super Regional hosting in Starkville, needing two wins to get to Omaha, is this even really a conversation?
No, but because he lost that game, it is. I mean, that's like how fine the margins are.
My issue with the whole conversation is like, why does it have to be that extreme? If he's two wins away from getting to Super Regional, hosting it in Starkville, why is it he has to win those two games or he's fired? I just take a broader view of it, and I want to see another season of this, and if it's a really bad season next year, then I don't know if they're going to be able to build it back and bring it back. I just don't have a lot of faith in that. But I want to see a little more. He made a big improvement by changing the pitching staff. Does he go out there and change his offense this year? Does the offense look completely better next year with what he gets in the portal or whatever they do philosophically? He needs to get another year after showing the improvement this year and fixing the pitching. So we'll see what happens from there.
Where are we here? Brian McDuff, good friend. I recently watched a cinematic masterpiece called Madam Web. What is a movie that had a good budget and decent actors, but that was laughably terrible?
What is that, like a DC or Marvel movie?
That is. It was like a vehicle for Sydney Sweeney to wear a tight outfit, basically.
Oh, okay.
So,
where is this at? So I can research.
Madam Web is the name of the movie.
Purely research.
Yeah.
Material.
Black Adam. Is one.
Yeah. Oh, God. I heard that was terrible. Awful. I haven't watched it, but apparently it was just absolutely terrible. You watched that in theaters, didn't you?
I did.
Oh,
not great.
You actually spent money on that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Lane Kiffin making fun of Jeff Levy's weight? In 2024,
we're still body shaming out here. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, if you ask me. Anybody who's going to make fun of your weight must be a pretty low-down person, you know? Anyone who would ever, ever do anything like that to anyone is just the worst.
And he doesn't really have, you know, a long line of these situations. This is kind of new for him, isn't it?
I thought he was pretty, you know, pretty timid on Twitter, pretty tame, but I guess not. Anyway.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. So our friend Kobe and our friend Colton Watson both want to talk about the portal. I just don't know the guys in the portal for baseball. I just don't. It's not like
it's kind of early
basketball. Yeah. So let's let that sit for a couple weeks.
Following the portal in baseball is really difficult because you know, we don't really get a lot of information.
That's true too.
Linked to us, they keep it pretty tight. I think I've had like three or four guys that I've been able to confirm are like on campus and that were visiting Mississippi State the last couple of years. And I broke, you know, a couple of those, Tyler Davis and Johnny Long. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, we all knew that Paul Skeens was visiting and I think Luke Holman too. But they just keep it under wraps. They don't like that information getting out. And it's kind of one of those deals you just kind of wait around a lot of times and figure out who's coming to Mississippi State. So it's really weird. It's quite frustrating, especially when you're in this business. You're trying to get people information, but it kind of is what it is under this staff.
Yeah, they don't give out a ton, and they just have to get through it. So, Colton Watson. Greater or less than 25% chance Lemonis interviews for South Carolina?
25%?
Yeah.
I would say greater.
Greater. And then he says 15% take the job.
I think there's a, you know, if he's offered the job, he's definitely going to consider it. That's home for him in South Carolina. I think this has been a really difficult job for him from a mental standpoint. It's been tough on him, just from what I understand. I don't think he's going to spend a long time in college baseball either. Like I don't see him sticking around for a long time, just the wear and tear of it. And from what I've heard, you know, he's a guy that I don't think is going to be spending a lot of his life coaching. But
okay.
I could see him getting back to South Carolina. I'm not predicting that. I still think he's going to stay at Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably have, you know, a lot of other guys on their list too. But I would say 25%, 25-30% on both of those.
Okay.
As of now, I expect him to stay at Mississippi State. But
yeah, me too.
You know, we'll see.
Also from Colton, is it time yet to talk about Jake Gautreaux, or should he get the grace that Lemonis got last year? Gautreaux's had a rough go of it lately, and you know, I can't help but look at what State did in the pitching department and making a change and how much that helped, and wonder if the same thing could be true about hitting. But hitting has not bottomed out the way that pitching did.
No, it has its moments. Mm-hmm. It's not great, but it's like, I guess, two up and down. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, they still had some big moments this year. One thing I'll say about Goat is he and Lemonis are really close at this point. I don't see Lemonis getting rid of him.
Right, me either.
It would be a surprise if that happened. Mm-hmm. And he loves it here. He's being paid well. It's going to have to be a situation where he just wants to take a head coaching job, I think, at this point. I don't see him leaving for another job. I don't see Lemonis firing him. It's just going to have to be he's ready to go be a head coach. That's kind of where I am with him at this point. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm not on the field or in their meetings to know if it's Jake Gautreaux's fault that this hitting is kind of bottom of the SEC. I don't know. From the people that I talk to that know Gautreaux well, they tell me he's not teaching some of the things that are happening on the field and some of these at-bats that, you know, a lot of times it just kind of gets in the players' heads and, you know, that's just – it just happens that way. But he is responsible for them, and it's up to him to kind of fix it and make this a better group next year. But I don't foresee Mississippi State just cutting ties with him. I think he's going to have to take another job.
I agree. Papa Crawdad asks, what is one wrestling memory or gimmick you wish you could forget about?
The Definitely the Katie Vick.
That's a good one.
Thing
good
with choice. Kane and Triple H.
Good choice there. Very good.
That was
Mark Henry and Mae Young in the
yes. hand. Giving birth to a hand.
I could live without knowing that David Arquette was ever world heavyweight champion.
Yes.
Could live with that.
What about a gimmick?
It was on the tip of my tongue there. Oh gosh. I mean, there's just so many. Bastion Booger.
Bastion Booger, Kane when he was Isaac Yankum.
Isaac Yankum DDS. Speaking of Kane, fake Razor Ramon and fake Diesel.
Yes. That whole little time period.
Awful.
Was some of the worst. They were like job occupation gimmicks.
Yeah.
And they were so bad. The Goon, T.O. Hopper, the plumber.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, a lot of good options, really bad.
A lot of good options.
Did you ever hear about the humpback where like they couldn't pin him?
No.
Like his back was humped. Like his gimmick was like he couldn't be pinned because you couldn't put his shoulders to the mat.
So it was a person with a real like humpback?
Yes.
Oh God, that would have been so. That sounds like something Vince McMahon do. I know he's disabled, but look at him. Good.
And let's make him Japanese.
All right, Vince, we've just hired Shinsuke Nakamura. He is one of the greatest wrestlers alive today. We're going to call him Mitsubishi Nintendo.
Woo!
Yeah. John asks, in your lifetime, what is one state game that you didn't go to but wish you did, and one state game you went to but you wish you didn't?
I'm gonna use the same exact year.
Okay.
And these games coincided with each other as to why I didn't go to the one I wished I was going to.
Okay.
Maine and Florida.
That works. That's a good call.
Yep.
I'm not gonna say the Egg Bowls. I want to keep my streak, so I don't want to say I missed an Egg Bowl, right? So I wish I hadn't gone to LSU in 2000 and or just in 2000 when they came from behind and won the game in overtime. That game still makes me upset. A game that I wish I had gone to but I didn't is also at LSU in 2014 when they finally beat them down there. I wasn't at that game and I wish I had. So we'll just go with that.
There you go.
Reed Green. Arkansas baseball is the equivalent to which college football team either in the present or all time? The first thing that comes to mind are Frank Beamer's Virginia Tech teams. So the problem with that is that he's had some good teams, but he was not a consistent year-in, year-out top five program. The answer is Florida State prior to 1993 when they reeled off. I think they had like eight straight seasons where they finished in the top five, but they never won a national title.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to go. Nebraska did that too. Nebraska – until what, 90, 93 or something like that? But they were a dominant program for a decade and couldn't do anything.
Yeah, Florida State is probably like worse. This worse than Arkansas.
Oh, you're talking about Florida State baseball. That's a good choice too.
Yeah,
but they've never won a national title.
Yeah, and they've been to the College World Series more than anyone without winning one.
Correct.
I think Clemson might be next, or is it Clemson or Arkansas?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know it's Florida State, though, to have the most appearances without a national title. That's a good call.
But yeah, those Virginia Tech teams, man, under Beamer.
So good.
They've always been solid. Hey, that makes me think about the snuck inside Virginia Stadium the other day, football.
Oh, cool.
And
you know it's called, right?
Huh?
You know it's called, right?
What?
It's Scott Stadium.
It is Scott Stadium. That's right. Yeah. And in the basketball arena is John Paul Jones Arena.
Really?
If it could only be Paul Jones Arena.
Well, I was thinking, you know, if it's John Paul Jones Arena, you know, where's Jimmy Page Field and John exactly. Bonham Pavilion?
But the funny thing is, like, we walk up to like the back of the stadium, and they're actually like working in it. They're doing some things inside the stadium, and like there's a gate that's locked. So we go around, We go inside a door and into this room, and like John is like so excited that he is that he's found a place. He opens the door, and we're right back in front of that gate. It was funny.
That's funny.
But yeah, we had a nice trip in there. It's not that impressive.
Well, I mean there's a lot of history there, but
yeah.
For in terms of athletics, I mean, they're a mid to lower tier ACC team. You know, there's not a whole lot to expect, I would imagine.
Yeah, but we found a guy in there that let us in, take a look for a second, and then we went on our merry way. It was a really cool campus.
Yeah,
they have a room. They have a Edgar Allan Poe's room. Is there?
It's not a campus.
I know it's grounds.
The grounds,
which is so strange. I said that 3 or 4 times to the people at Virginia. Like, no, it's not campus, it's grounds.
I mean, they're just pretentious. There's no way around it. All right.
Thomas also Jefferson designed it.
Yeah. From Reed Green, rank these opposing coaching meltdowns and tirades, please. Steve Spurrier throwing his visor to the ground 10,000 times in the 2000 game. Paul Mainieri throwing a temper tantrum like a 3-year-old while arguing a call in 2016. Matt Insel's ranting about the donut bacon burger in his interview, and any others that we can remember that we thought were funny. Spurrier.
Probably Bobby Knight throwing a chair across the floor would be the...
Well, yeah, but I think he's talking about specifically to Mississippi State.
Okay. I'm trying to think of any more. Of those, it'll probably be Steve Spurrier.
Yeah.
But
so, I don't know if I've told you. So, the last game I ever saw a Vic Schaefer team play in was at Ole Miss, his final year at State. And Coach Yeo, and State beat him by like 30, just absolutely destroyed them, right? And Coach Yeo in her post game was talking about how, you know, she was going to get this program to, you know, one day this is going to be a real rivalry and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, we just lost by 30, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And I'll
she
never
also
forget,
said they're going to win the national championship, too.
Yeah. I'll never forget after it, I was sitting down there with Tyler Horka, and Schaefer came and talked to us, and he was just like, what the hell is she talking about? It's like, she needs to worry about winning a game. Like, what are you talking about? You're going to compete with us.
It's a rivalry now because Vic left.
Yeah. I mean, if Vic hadn't left, that's the same.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have been as close.
Trying to think if there's anyone else that just stands out for like opposing coaching that that I've been to. Not really. So Moorhead had a couple of good ones, but of course, you know, Leach's dinosaur rant. Fantastic.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Zach, let's see here. These are easy to ask about Lamonis. We already talked about that. The MS Chicken Man also says Starkville 76. Is this the 76 by my house? Are those people who run it, I guess? I don't know.
They're starting to become like TikTok famous.
Are they? Well, they should. Yeah. Good food there. Which of these
sandwiches
was a more boneheaded reaction by a State player? Tanner Leggett bat flipping a home run when we're down 27-2 to Tennessee, or Stephen Guidry shushing the crowd at Auburn when we're down three touchdowns in 2019?
I don't even remember that Tanner Leggett bat.
Yeah, though. I'm just going to go with Guidry because at least Tanner Leggett did something productive in his career.
Yeah.
So just go with Guidry. Brogan Fairchild, we are taking our kids 8-4 on a road trip this summer. What are your must-do road trip games to play in the car? We love an alphabet game in the Hey Dad family.
I just want to listen to my music or podcast.
So y'all don't play games with Natty in the car? You just
she does, but yeah, sometimes I'll play for a little bit and then I'll tune out.
I got you.
I'm not big on games in the car.
Alphabet game is always a good one. I Spy is a good one.
Yeah. We do I Spy. Like I Spy something gray and like the dashboard.
Yeah, exactly. Kenny Manning says, Lamonis threw me out of the dude on the day it opened to the press. I was sneaking in through the bullpen to check it out, and he stepped in front of me and sent me packing. Have you ever snuck in or been thrown out of a venue? Well, we just learned that Robbie has snuck in to a couple of venues.
I've snuck into several. Me and Tyler Horka snuck in at Clemson.
You say we snuck in at Oregon, too, didn't you? Or did you actually get a tour?
I got a tour of Oregon.
Okay. Did you sneak in at Nebraska?
They have a place where they have a place specifically in the stands that you can go, like, look inside the stadium.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. Like, they know people want to see the stadium. Mm-hmm. So they have, like, a gated off place that comes out into the stands where it's enough room for you to stand and be standing in the stadium and, like, take pictures and stuff.
All right.
But I did sneak in the stadium in 07 in Nebraska. I wasn't supposed to be there, and I was standing on the field.
That's what I thought. I thought you had been, yeah, gotten into Nebraska.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I have never snuck in anywhere like that. Never have.
Really?
I never have. I'm a law and order kind of guy. Matthew Watkins. Robbie, this question is for you. Kylian Mbappe just signed with Real Madrid. Can you put this scenario in terms of the NFL, MLB, and NBA?
No.
Moving on. Or would you like me to try?
You can go for it.
All right. It's very similar.
I don't want to completely dismiss Matthew's question.
Yeah. It's very similar to when Durant signed with the Warriors. Very similar. But it would be more like if LeBron had signed with the Warriors at that time.
So Mbappe is the best soccer players.
He is the best soccer player in the world right now. And Real Madrid is the best soccer team in the world right now.
Oh.
So, yeah. Okay. So it would have been like if LeBron had signed with the Warriors. So I guess right now, who would you say is the best player in the league right now? Jokic?
Yeah, Jokic is up there.
So this is going to hurt John Sokolov's feelings if he's listening. But if Jokic signed with the Celtics, that's what this would be.
Ooh, that should hurt your feelings too.
It absolutely would. Who is the who would you say is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now?
Well, Justin Jefferson is now the highest paid.
Okay. So, well, I mean, would you say he's the best? You can make an argument, right?
Probably top five, yeah.
Okay, let's just say Justin Jefferson. If he signed with the Chiefs, that's what this would be. Okay. And it is kind of like Ohtani going to the Dodgers, but the Dodgers weren't the best team in the world last year, but you see what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You could have just made up a name, and I would have no clue.
You should know Mbappe. Mbappe is a guy who sort of transcends things. He's the best in the world right now. If he had been born in this country, his recruitment as one of the top, like, Percy Harvin type athletes would have been unbelievable.
I'll take your word for it.
All right.
I know nothing about soccer.
Yeah. Jeremy Russell, I hear you talk about grilling a lot. What are your thoughts on pellet grills? Do you have a grill or smoker recommendation? I did never owned a pellet grill. Have you?
No. Okay. No, I'm not.
And it's just not for me. I love my Weber kettle, but I have some friends that do pellet grills, and they love them. And they have the Rectech brand. They say that's the best one.
Yeah, when I do get a grill eventually, because we moved in, I just haven't worried about it. I've just been cooking stuff in the oven on skillets and stuff.
Yeah.
But when we do get a grill, I'm probably going to go to the Rectech.
That's my buddy McDuff, who asked a question earlier. He's got a Rectech. He loves it.
Were one of the Nelsons in Virginia this week?
Yeah, Riley was.
Saw it.
Yeah.
From the press box.
Mississippi State is playing sports, Riley Nelson will be there.
Really?
Yeah. So he's on
vacation. Well, I hate to miss you, Riley, but I saw you from a distance.
In that area.
And oh, okay.
He decided, when we saw you were going to Charlottesville, he was like, I'm going to head down, watch a couple games. So, yeah, he was there.
I apologize for not saying hey to you, Riley. I saw you from a distance, and I thought it was you, but I didn't know.
All right. Patton Paris. Did anyone find Bradley Lofton once the season ended? Is he taking the JT Ginn route? Ginn at least gave us a year of solid pitching. I don't know.
Yeah, before he got hurt in 2020, mm-hmm. you know, he was going to be good too. I don't know. I just don't know what's going on with Bradley.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's injury related or what, but he is he's super talented, and he's showing it when he's been in the game. Mm-hmm. They desperately need him next year.
Yeah. Also from Patton, are Highfield and Cup projected to be back next year? I think Highfield is. There's some smoke on Cup maybe taking a trip elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't know why he would, but
I don't either.
Maybe he's just upset at this year. But
yeah.
I mean, the shortstop position is basically his next year.
Yeah.
But Highfield is projected to be back. I don't know what his rehab is right now, but
we could probably put him in that projected lineup we had in the first question.
I would think, yeah. And they got another year for Joe Powell if they can get a waiver.
Yeah.
From the NCAA, you know, he's got a chance to come back too. So,
gotcha. When did Song start listing a drummer as the special appearance in the song, a la Travis Barker?
I think he was probably the one, because he was kind of like a – he's a guy that'll play, like, his own tracks. Like, he'll just be like a – he'll get up there and just play to other people's music and stuff. So he's become kind of his own act.
Yeah.
He's one of the fewest I've seen that's, you know, been listed, or I guess.
Yeah. What's more impressive, lead singer that's the drummer, lead singer that's the bass player, or lead singer that's the lead guitarist? I think it's bass player.
That's up there. It's guitar. Because really? It's either guitar for me, I think, either lead or bass. Because I've played and sang with an acoustic guitar,
mm-hmm.
and that is that's become a lot easier. I played and sang with playing drums.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got the beat down, like, you know, it's just kind of fluid.
Mm-hmm.
But playing lead guitar, like a solo or some kind of riff, mm-hmm. while also singing is mm-hmm. very difficult. And bass is kind of like you're playing riffs. I mean, you're yeah. moving your fingers up and down the mm-hmm. the fret.
Yeah.
With acoustic guitar, you just move and you're just strumming with just like you're playing regular rhythm with drums.
Right.
It's to me, it would be more difficult playing bass or lead guitar, probably lead guitar.
The S tier is bass guitar and keyboards, also known as the Geddy Lee tier.
Yes, Geddy Lee is one of the greatest of all time that could handle both.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, how many bands out there have a bass player that's also the lead singer? Rush, Primus,
Winger.
Okay, look, come on.
What?
Come on. That guy's not exactly ripping it up on the bass. Let's.
Okay, you didn't tell me they had to be killing it on the bass.
I was just trying to get like some, you know, come on, Winger.
I know Gene Simmons isn't the lead singer, but he
does sing. He does sing. Is there anybody else that we're missing here? I just want to do a quick where bass player sings. Thin Lizzy. He was the bass player.
Yes.
Lemmy, yeah. Motorhead. That's a good one.
Yep.
Oh, The Police.
Yes. Sting.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's some out there. Oh, well, I mean, are we going to count the Beatles?
Oh, yeah. Paul McCartney. I guess we could.
We probably should count the Beatles. Yeah.
There's a ton.
Robert St. John right now. I just heard that. He's like, those sucks.
He was already typing out a message before he heard you mention them.
Delete. We got it. Yeah. We'll do one more here and we'll go to the break.
Sometimes stuff slips our mind. Just
yeah.
Yeah. Everybody calm down.
Yeah. Where are we here? All right. Paul Barrett asked, that Jack Crystal clip from the live show always makes me shed a single manly tear. What are some things that don't make you full on cry, but do make you shed a single manly tear? When my daughter graduated high school a couple weeks ago, I didn't cry, but I had a moment where I welled up a little bit. So
yeah. Music does that a lot to me. Certain songs,
mm-hmm.
if they're powerful, they hit me.
You watch a Soldier's Return Home video.
Yeah.
You will have a manly tear at some point. No question about that.
The kind of quivering lip. Your jaws start getting tight.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good call. If a genie came to you and offered to let you get rid of Lemonis in a way that lets the university have a coaching search with no bad publicity or stigma, would you make the wish? So nobody gets hurt. He just gets an offer he can't refuse from the MLB, or wakes up one day and realizes his true passion is opening a restaurant or something similar. I'm just telling you right now, you know, I love Bluto's, but if Limo's Greek Tavern were to open up, I would go eat there.
Well, the scenario that you're wanting right here is South Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah. Could that be negative to the university, though? Of like, wow,
he leaves for South Carolina? Yeah,
he was at Mississippi State and he left for another SEC school that's not
as good. I think you could easily explain that away as
family.
He wanted to be back closer. It was kind of a, you know, like people would probably paint it as a mutual parting of ways or whatever. But yeah, it would come across negative in a lot of circles that South Carolina is viewed as a better job than Mississippi State or something.
Yeah.
But heck, I mean, State basically took their pitching coach last year, so I don't know. It'd be kind of weird if you go from taking their pitching coach to them taking your head coach the next year.
Yes, it would be. Yes. Let's see here. Sheldon, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and take the break here. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. The weather's nice. It's grilling season. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. When you're cooking out this summer, make sure that beef is on the menu. Some great steaks, some burgers, or if you're going to go big with a brisket or a tri-tip, nobody's going to leave unhappy. I promise you that. If you're looking for great tailgating or grilling recipes, they've got them at msbeef.org, along with a lot of other great information about all the great beef producers here in the state of Mississippi. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. When you're in Starkville, I'm always telling folks, hey, go to Two Brothers. And I cannot tell you that I've ever had somebody say, hey, you recommended that place and I didn't like it. It just never happens. It's always, man, the food was incredible at Two Brothers. And that's just the way it is. And the food is also really, really good over at the Older Brother. If you haven't checked that place out yet, you need to do it. It's going to be a huge addition to our Starkville restaurant scene. It's going to be a place that people are talking about a lot in the coming weeks. So if you haven't been there already, check it out. The Older Brother, a fine food sandwich shop and bistro, both right there in the heart of the Cotton District, Two Brothers and the Older Brother. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 49 years. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. If you need a new computer, new printer, new laptop, whatever it is, they've got you covered with great name brands and great prices. But most importantly, when something goes wrong with that device, and it always will, you know that you can call Advantage Business Systems and get great service after the sale. You don't have to be on hold for 45 minutes. You don't have to make an appointment with an out-of-state technician. You're going to talk to somebody here in the state of Mississippi, and chances are they can take care of you that same day. You can't afford to wait, so give Advantage Business Systems a call, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you head to the games this fall, you need to head to Maroon & Co. If you're in Starkville and you're looking for new MSU gear, you need to go to Maroon & Co. They've got a great selection that you can't find anywhere else. They've got the exclusive line of Bulldog Initiative clothing. And, of course, stuff just beyond clothes, man. They've got everything you need for your tailgate, your home, your car, everything. If you're looking for a great Father's Day gift, it's not going to be a problem to find it at Maroon & Co. Before you go to the game, go to Maroon & Co. Also, don't forget, 15% off with our code THUNDER15. Regular price items, some exclusions do apply. All right, Sheldon Nations, Robbie, what are some date facts that blow your mind? For example, there were woolly mammoths in North America for 1,000 years after the pyramids of Giza were built.
Really?
Yeah. The pyramids are old.
They really are old.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how those things were built. I mean, to the square inch, they're perfected. It's unbelievable. That's why people believe aliens built them. Not saying I'm one of those.
You sure?
I'm positive.
So what I did, the one that always gets me is finding out people who lived at the same time, right? So I found this article here. Here we go. Maybe you didn't know. Maybe you didn't know. Buddha and Socrates lived at the same time.
Really?
Yeah, I thought Buddha was a lot further in the past than Socrates, but not.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin were born on this exact same day.
Interesting.
Didn't know.
Here's
that.
One I found out.
Okay.
I found out this week. Thomas Jefferson and David Murray went to school together.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's actually really funny. I'll give you a couple more here. Martin Luther King, Anne Frank, and Barbara Walters all born the same year.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, like, Martin Luther King is not, like, he would still be alive today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see.
Not super old. That's what's wild. It's like all that stuff happened, like, not too long ago.
Yeah. Betty White was 9 when Thomas Edison died.
Oh.
I mean, these are crazy, right? John Wayne was 6 when Harriet Tubman died.
That's wild.
That's I didn't know that. That's I didn't realize this one either. Pablo Picasso outlived Jimi Hendrix. I thought Picasso died in like the 30s.
Like, wait, he was still alive when Jimi Hendrix died.
Right.
What you mean? Okay,
correct.
I was about to say. I mean, I outlived Jimi Hendrix.
Picasso died in 73, and Jimi Hendrix died in 70.
Wow. I don't last even know one. What Picasso looks like, honestly.
The last one, and this one got me. Pope Francis is the same age that Buddy Holly would be.
Oh, man.
That one messes with my head.
Well, another one that messes with my head is, like, Elvis. I don't think Elvis would have lived anyways because, mm-hmm. like, he was just so unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But not, like... What is he in his 90s now?
If he Elvis, was still Elvis yeah. would be turning 89 this year. Would
see, like, my grandmother is 93. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
it's crazy.
I don't know. Some of those are messed up. But, yeah, there's a lot of that historical stuff that if you get into it, it'll mess with your head for sure. Jay in Baltimore. Well, he asked about Bradley Lofton, so.
I've already answered that. Oh, yeah. I've already met Jay, but I saw him this weekend. He was in Charlottesville.
Oh, that's cool. Caleb Rhodes, what place should I run first on EA Sports College Football 25? Four verts, mesh, HB dive, or play action? Play action or take a delay of game because of the last 11 years. I mean, the easy.
You got to go four verts.
Four verts, right? I'm trying to think. I wrote down, I had this the other day. Because we were talking in a different group text, hold on a second, about what play we should run first. And let me see if I can find it, because it was out of the pistol.
Are you going to run Lebby's playbook?
No, I'll be running the pistol.
Oh.
So let me see here. Pistol, let me see if I can, because I had it written down.
Oh, you're smarter than Jeff Lebby, huh?
I am. I could beat Jeff Lebby in NCAA football.
Hold on now.
So
I want to see that happen.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you that
if you're gonna shoot your shot, we need to make that happen.
I mean, I'm down. Let's see here. This is it right here. That's not what I want at all. Definitely not what I want. Stop. All right, here we go. There it is. No, that's not it. That's shotgun. Oh, well. It was a pistol formation, twins receivers to the weak side with a counter play. It was a counter play. I love running counters. So that was me.
Whose offensive playbook is that specifically?
Just the pistol. You can do like air raid, pistol, wishbone playbooks. I just use the pistol. I like having the
– okay.
Just me. That's just how I like to run.
I like being multiple.
I feel like multiple is such a crutch. I don't want to be multiple. I want to be known for something. That we run this offense. Stop it if you can.
Okay, I respect that.
Survive if I let you.
The human suplex machine, yeah. Brian Haydab.
All right, Dalton Lee, and he brought his wife in on this one so that she could show us that everything's valid that he's talking about. So here we go. The wife and I are trying to plan ahead for our summer trip so we can mitigate any stress. We started reminiscing on some previous failures in years past, from poor timing to forgetting important stuff. Our Euro trip a few years ago came up where the diamond off her engagement ring fell out in a train station in Bern, Switzerland. She was sobbing hysterically while I was panicking internally, wondering if I am financially ruined. Luckily, it was covered and insurance did cover it fully. This took the cake as easily the most stressful 12 years of my life. What's the most
12 hours?
I know. 12 hours. I'm sorry. It could have been years. 12 hours of my life. What is the most stressful travel situation you have had with friends or family? P.S. If you're ever in Bern, Switzerland's train station and see a diamond somewhere on platform 4, that is mine. Well, if I ever go there, I mean, Grace Ibarra is headed to Switzerland. We'll have her check it out for you.
Is she leaving today?
No, but, you know, I'm sure if it's been there all this time, it's probably still there.
You think so? Somebody's picked that thing up.
Yeah, what I'm saying is she'll check, and if it's there, she'll get it home to us.
Good luck, Grace.
Yeah. Do you have a stressful vacation situation?
Like just travel stuff?
Yeah.
I mean,
or just anything.
Any time that you're with family, it's kind of stressful. Like other family.
Mm-hmm.
It's always stressful. You all yell at each other. It's supposed to be like a happy time, and you're just like yelling at each other and having fights and things like that. Yeah, that's stressful to me.
I will tell a story now. I'm going to open myself up here a little bit. All right.
Yeah. You don't ever do that.
Well, I'm about to do it right here. So our second Disney trip, Robbie, this thing nearly broke me. I mean, we were walking everywhere. And Jennifer, she's not a big fan of like, let's take a rest day, right? Like when you go to Disney and you're going to be there for 5 or 6 days, you got to have one day where you're just like, let's just hang around the hotel, go to the pool, go get something to eat.
You do have a day where you just swim. Yeah.
We didn't have that. So by the end of this trip, man, I'm just a shell. I'm just broken, right? Like all I want in the world is to go back to the hotel, go to bed, and then leave the next day. So Aislinn is like 10 years old at this point, maybe 11. And for those of you who don't know, my daughter Aislinn is autistic. So, you know, she has some trouble with some things, right? Just certain things. She's high functioning. She just graduated from high school. She's going to go to college. But there are some things that she just, her head has trouble wrapping around. So we're going to go to this place. They have an area in the Magic Kingdom, which is just like for little kids, right? But that's perfect for her. She just wants to play. So this is this thing called like Dumbo's Playhouse or something, right? They got slides and ladders to climb and all this stuff. And most importantly, Robbie, there are benches. So I can just sit down and she can go play and I can relax. Fine. So she goes off to play and I'm sitting down. And then she comes back over and she is in tears. She's like, Daddy, it says on that sign over there, you have to be 8 and under to play here. Are they going to make me leave? I lost it, dude. I mean, you talk about the single manly tear, it was there. Because I've hated this fake. I hate Disney. I will never go back as long as I live. And I'm just like, I can't anymore. And now my daughter's crying. Like, I can't. So I'm like, you see that guy over there? Go get him and bring him here to me. But she goes and gets the whoever the attendant is, right? And I'm like, dude, my daughter doesn't understand that she can play here. I mean, I know y'all aren't going to kick her out or ask to see her ID, but she doesn't know that. So I'm going to bring her over here, and you're going to tell her that she can play here, right? And he goes, yeah, no problem, man. And he could tell from looking at me that I am at my absolute breaking point. And so I'm like, Aislinn, come here. I was like, well, what were you just telling me, sir? He was like, you can play here. It's not a problem. You can play here all you want. And she's like, oh, okay, great. And she ran off and had a great time. And I was like, thank you. And he walked away. And by the time my wife showed up, she was just looking at me. She was like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't. I cannot be at this place anymore. Never will I go back to Disney. Never, under any circumstance.
Your legs were chafed.
No. No, because in our backpack was a container of Gold Bond medicated powder. And anytime I felt like the sting of a chafe, I went to the restroom. You would have thought Tony Montana was in that stall. All the powder that I left on the floor in there. It was unbelievable. Just all over me. Just like, I am not getting heat rash while we're here. But, I mean, we're talking 20,000 steps a day. It's super hot. I don't like rides. The food at Disney sucks. Why am I here? I hate Disney. Never again will I go back.
Well,
the only way I would ever go back is like if it was like Grandpa come to Disney with us. But even then, I don't know.
Well, you should have got with Abby. Abby would have definitely gotten you some.
I did not know
good
Abby
food spots
this time. Did not know Abby.
So, that is unfortunate.
But even then, like the food at Disney is not good. It is not.
There's some places like hidden in there that have some good like
well, good things,
obscure
but like,
things.
The places that you sit down to eat your meals at, by and large, suck. They suck.
It's just, you know, fried chicken, cod, fried fish.
We went to this one place in Disney Springs where, like, this guy, I knew his name from, like, Food Network and stuff, and it was supposed to be, like, the best fried chicken, and we went in there and ate, and I was just like, this is not good at all. It was just not good. It's very disappointing.
Wolfgang Puck?
That wasn't Wolfgang Puck, but still.
I went to Wolfgang Puck's, and it was pretty good.
Well, I'm never going to go back, so I don't know what to tell you.
Power to you. I don't know when we'll go back, but yeah, eventually we will.
It's so expensive now, too. So
it is.
Austin McMullen, is it an AD's job to ensure that school has the best available coaches? Should an AD be constantly evaluating talent and comparing the coaches he has to, to those who might be available? I think so, but at the same time, no AD is going to fire a coach that puts him in a situation where potential candidates are going to go, why did you fire that guy?
Yeah, I mean, the conversation again is why.
There's a nuance to this, man.
It's why did he not get fired last year? If you're wanting him fired, you can't come back and fire the guy after you've given him another year and he gave you 40 wins, got you to the tournament, and you're two wins away from hosting a super regional.
Right.
You just can't do it. The guy told you, I will get us back in the postseason next year. I will fix our pitching. And he did. You can't fire him at this point. Last year was what upsets you. If you wanted him fired, it was last year. But Chris Lemonis did his job this year, got Mississippi State back to postseason and fixed the pitching. Now, they weren't perfect. There were several things they didn't do that they needed to do to make sure they're in position to host and all that stuff. But they're back in postseason, which is what was basically the conversation. So I get people are frustrated. I get people kind of see where this could be headed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm certainly skeptical on the possibility of this team getting back and competing for national championships and all. But at the same time, like, I just don't get the outrage this year of, like, wanting the guy fired. It was last year that should happen if you're wanting him fired.
Yeah. Let's see here. Jason asks us, will you be playing college football online this summer? I'm not a big online guy. I just want to play my dynasty mode.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not doing all that. I'm
when
going
you play
to
online,
do the
you get
rope
the people
to glory.
Who are paying for the upgrades and all that. Like, I just want the game. I'm not buying. I'm not doing microtransactions. That's just not going to happen. So
no, all I want to do is play the dynasty. I'll play 30 years of the dynasty. Like I was playing NCAA 2014 like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So.
After watching the Caitlin Clark foul, how do you think Kobe or Jordan would handle these hard fouls that Clark receives? I mean, have you ever read the Jordan rules? I mean, they used to beat Jordan. The Pistons used to come out and tell you, we're going to beat him up.
It happened all the time. We just don't talk about it as much in men's basketball as we do women's now.
Guys get hacked all the time in men's basketball.
But what it is now is like people have picked two sides, and you're either on Caitlin Clark's side and you're furious about the fact that she's getting fouled and treated like she is, or you're on the opposite side where you're tired of hearing about her and you're wanting people to basically foul her hard and treat her like trash and all that stuff. It's just like it's become like a you pick a side kind of deal. And this stuff's been happening. We were talking about it on the way back yesterday with Stefan and John. We were talking about, you know, this stuff's happened for years in other sports and men's sports, and people just don't really talk about it as much. But it's the women's sports, like people are paying more attention to it now, and it's just become more of a conversation.
Great. Also, last one from Jason. Do we ever think Cody will be back in AEW? If it is, it'll be towards the end of his career where it's just like, one last little run there in AEW just to say goodbye, something like that, right?
And there's really no reason for him to do that because he's at the biggest stage.
Yeah, I would be surprised at this point to see him back. We'll see that.
And the like,
I never say never in wrestling, obviously. But
the ironic thing about it, since he was one of the people that created AEW, mm-hmm. is WWE is way more of a fit for him. Like that style,
mm-hmm.
the whole sports entertainment part of it, mm-hmm. and like the, you know, he's the white meat baby face, like. That's way more his bag.
The time he created AEW, he never could have thought he would go back to WWE.
Yeah.
So it just happened to be that one. All right, Ford Polk. In the NFL, you have to have 2 feet inbound to catch a ball. In college, it's just one. The baseball diamond is significantly bigger in MLB than in college. So why does it make sense that the NBA gets 3 steps before a travel and college is 2? Isn't 2 steps harder? Isn't it supposed to be harder in the pros than in amateurism? You get the, you know, you get the Euro step. You get that extra step in the NBA. I mean, I don't know. I think it's more because the NBA is a little more offensively driven than college basketball is.
That was my, I'm not one of these.
There's no defense in the there's plenty of defense in the NBA. But the players
I think that's good. What it is. Like they it's an entertainment thing and exactly. They're trying to score more points.
Yeah.
Also, that's why they have defensive 3 seconds and all that stuff. I mean, they want more points. They're trying to sell, they're trying to make a lot of money.
Which of these fictional candies would you most want to try? Lickable wallpaper, everlasting gobstopper, scrumdiddlyumptious bar, the three-course dinner gum, or the Reptar bar? I'm definitely going scrumdiddlyumptious.
Yeah, I was never interested in the three-course dinner gum.
No, that doesn't work for me. I don't want my gum to taste like mashed potatoes.
Like they're like, tomato soup. Like I don't want that.
I don't want gum like that. I don't want to lick wallpaper soup, because other people have licked it.
Yeah, and the gobstopper.
They've got to have that.
I don't have to have something that just like always like eventually I want to spit the gum out.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the scrum diddly umptious bar.
That's
or whatever.
An easy winner.
Although when I was a kid, I always wanted to try that Reptar bar.
See, is that off of
Rugrats?
I never watched Rugrats. My time zone there. The Mangum Cafe, is there anything more depressing than a dugout after a postseason elimination? I have an answer. I think there is something worse. A bench after a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
It's one thing to lose, but when you were winning 0.5 of a second ago and then you lose, that's tough.
The thing about it is you don't last very long on the bench because you're going off shaking hands or whatever.
Yeah.
The dugout, they just kind of stay in there for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's good. It is,
and they just sit there and reflect. It's kind of depressing. Yeah.
Another portal question. Move on from that. Will Grace Ibarra continue to make guest appearances? Well, if Robbie goes anywhere else, she's always on the she's always in the bullpen for me.
I'm perfectly fine with it. I love Queen Grace.
There you go. Let's see here. Brian Dye, why does everyone think Marshawn is leaving as a sophomore? He will still have leverage next year. Do we expect him to go in the first 5 rounds? Not sure I would take a few $100K to ride a bus when I can make the same thing a year from now and still be in Starkville. I expect him to be a top 10 round draft choice, and usually those guys go.
I was having this conversation the other night in the press box too, and I mean, it's definitely a conversation to be had. I think that he and his family have really kind of thought from the beginning they just want to be two and done. I mean, they're very business oriented and kind of focused on their futures and stuff like that. I think he could definitely come back next year and make just as much in NIL that he's probably going to make in his signing bonus. I don't see him being like a top 3 or 4 round pick. I think he's going to be middle rounds, in the top 10 rounds, maybe 5, 6. We'll see exactly where he goes. So I do think that he could improve his draft stock, but everything that I've heard is that he and his family are just kind of ready to move on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, if I'm Mississippi State, I'm definitely continuing conversations with him that you can make probably more money here than you will make in the ML or in the minor league system next year, and you still have the leverage after that. So I remember us having this conversation about Jake Mangum and thinking he was leaving after 2 years, and he stayed for 4. So I don't know. I think he's a little bit different personality than Jake.
Yeah.
And not as tied to Mississippi State as Jake was, but – It's definitely something. If I'm Chris Simonis, I'm probably having those conversations with David and his family over the next few weeks of, you know, there's still some opportunities here for you to make a lot of money that you probably won't make in minor leagues next year.
Alex Douglas asks us, rank these MSU logos from best to worst. Walking Bully, Interlocking, M over S, Flying M, the Bully Pennant, and State Script. Is hold on. So Banner M's not on here. Okay. So
what?
I know, right?
It's not among the best.
Is Bully Pennant, is he talking about like the bulldog behind the bulldog behind the M? Is that what that is?
No, it's the bully that's holding a pennant that says, I think, state on it.
Oh, okay. That's
It's
very
an
old
older
school
one.
there. Okay. If I can find it here.
Interlocking's still up there for me. I mean, I have a tough time picking between State Script and Interlocking.
I'm gonna go Interlocking. I would say State Script is third. It's behind Interlocking and M over S for me. But I still like it.
Oh yeah, I think I agree with that too. And then Walking Bully.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bulldog, Bully Pennant, and then I'm sorry to our friend Flying M, yeah, but
I'm not a Flying M guy. I thought it was cool the one time they used it, but
yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
All right, good. We're on the same page there. Also,
and no, I do not think that they should expand the M over S.
Well, why don't you just read the question then, sir?
Well, I thought you might already said it when my daughter's knocking my cup over. I'm just trying to.
No, I have not asked, but he asked, should the university reserve M over S strictly for baseball, or should it be expanded to other sports? So you think it's good where it is with baseball?
Yeah, that's a baseball-only logo for me. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but it should stick with baseball, in my opinion.
Jason Love, would college sports benefit from adopting a postseason ping pong draw like UEFA to fill in its brackets? Also, this could eliminate the appearance of committees subjective hand-picking favored teams with a structured invitation based on legitimate criteria. So what he's talking about is when they do the Champions League, they have – you get drawn into your bracket. And so they know who, like, the top eight seeds are, and they have – but they have legitimate criteria. You had to have won your league or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And – then the ping pong balls are just drawn. Now, it's funny that you're talking about, you know, like, corruption, and you're also going to talk about UEFA. The most corrupt – UEFA and FIFA are the most corrupt sports organizations there are on this planet. I don't think this helps, though, because, first off, the NCAA said they want to try to keep things regional. Like, they don't want small schools from the South having to fly to Corvallis and Santa Barbara. You know, they want to – I mean, these baseball is not a sport that makes a ton of money anyway. And then if you're going to put everybody on a plane to Oregon, you know, I get why they're not doing that. But I do think there needs to be some more, you know, I should it be that if you're going to win, if you're going to host, now there's not enough conference. I was like, you should have to have won your conference or won your conference tournament. But I mean, that would mean that Texas A&M couldn't have hosted this year, and they'd certainly deserve that. I don't know the answer to that, but I don't know, but I don't like the ping pong idea either.
There you go.
All right. Trotter Flynn, had MSU ended up hosting a regional but got knocked out by a strong two seed, would Lemonis have a little more cushion going into the 25 season? I would say he has less. If he had hosted and gotten knocked out, people would be furious.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could still turn around and say, yeah, but it's just a bad weekend or something.
Well, who's the strong two seed in this situation? Because it can't be LSU, because they wouldn't put two SEC teams together. Southern Miss, that would not go over well.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Wake Forest.
You know, not a single two seed advanced.
Yeah. So the only options to me are Wake Forest and then the two one seed, one of the two one seeds who would not have hosted, either Arizona or East Carolina. If for all the talking State did about East Carolina, if they got sent here and then knocked Mississippi State out, no, I think hosting and losing would have made people even madder than they are already. That's what I think.
Maybe it would have, but there wouldn't be a ton of merit behind it.
Yeah.
Because everybody said Lemonis needs to host a regional, or you said that he mm-hmm. should only keep his job if he hosts a regional.
Right.
So, I mean, at that, you didn't put any more parameters on that.
Oh, I didn't say Brian Haydad. I said people.
I'm sure people were going to be upset regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, at the end of the day, the people that make the decisions mm-hmm. are not going to fire him because he lost a regional.
Yeah. Brad Baxter, does the difference between a good year and a great year in college baseball really just depend on winning the 1-0 winner's bracket game in a regional? Kind of. For top programs, yeah.
Baseball is like, that's why I just don't understand like the kind of the conversations that are had on whether or not a season is a success.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot of times based on luck. I mean, I look at a successful season on if a team, first of all, has a really good regular season, but ultimately you probably are competing or getting to a super regional. And then when you get to the super regional, anything can happen. That's basically a weekend series. And then whatever happens from there is part luck and then part talent.
So this is some of the, I'll take it from the On3 message board. Did Arkansas have a good season this year?
Yes.
I agree. They had a good season.
Yeah. But they
separate it between season and postseason. You had a great season, but you had a bad postseason.
You had a great season, but you fell short of – you had a really good season, but you fell short of expectations and your goals.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, nobody should lose their job at Arkansas for failing to get the Super Regional. This team won the SEC West.
Mm-hmm.
And they
were a top five team all year.
A top five, yeah. So they had a bad weekend. They basically at the end of the year kind of ran out of gas. And the thing about baseball is you want to be playing your best there at the end. And you know, Mississippi State wasn't playing at its best there at the end. The offense was not playing well. But I just don't look at the season as a complete failure because they didn't make it to a super regional.
Last question, Michael Estes asks, I saw a post that made me wonder what you guys think. If a fan could only afford to buy season tickets and buy concessions, take family to the games, or give to support NIL, where would you tell them to spend their money? That's tough because you want big crowds, right? You do want those people in the stadium. It looks good. But I think NIL is more crucial to you know. I feel like if you don't buy tickets, somebody else will. But if you don't support NIL – if everybody's not supporting NIL, that's a problem. That's how I look at it. So that's a tough question, though. And that's also, you know, going to games is how you build the next generation of fans. I don't know if you can build fans as much when they're just watching on TV. They got to go to a game eventually.
Yeah, you still need to experience that. I mean, some of my best memories as a kid was going to SEC football games and being able to say, you know, I saw Leonard Fournette play and I saw – you know, Cadillac Williams and Jason Campbell and all these great players that have come through. It's really cool to be able to say, I saw those people in person.
Yeah, I agree with you. So that's a tough call. I would almost tell you, I think it's better to come to the games. I don't know, man.
You have to.
The best way is to split it, right? Is to like, look, we were going to spend X amount. Let's give this to NIL. And then if we can't make every game, fine, but we can just try to make two or three, you know? That's how I would look at it. So. All right, tomorrow's show.
I mean, it's tough, though. Like, you're basically asking your fan base now to 100% run your athletic department.
Yes.
They have to buy tickets, they have to give to the Bulldog Club, and they have to give to NIL. Like, that's tough, man.
Yeah, I agree. All right, tomorrow's show is tomorrow's show. Whatever comes up, we're going to talk about it. Don't forget, Superior Catfish Tour starts next week, June the 13th at OB's. Please join us there if you're going to be around town. We look forward to seeing you. Until next time, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.